The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
My name is Mark Herter. I'm here to read the passage this morning, which is drawn from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to the word of the Lord for today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord for us for today.
Well, good morning. I've met a couple of you this morning, but most of you I have not. So good morning. My name is Joshua DePasacrita. I am a new resident for the Christ Redeemer Church, and it's my privilege to fill in for Doug this morning as he's out in New York doing a funeral for his good buddy's mom. So before I get into it, I'll tell you a little bit more about myself. I was born and raised in New England. I grew up in Massachusetts and moved to New Hampshire just as my family moved to New Hampshire. I went to school at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Graduated with a master's in pastoral studies just this past May. So fresh out of school, and I'm here. I'm definitely looking forward to being here, and I definitely feel very equipped and confident from the training that I've gotten at that school. But at the same time, I'm also a little scared. It's a little unfamiliar. You know, I'm just coming back to New England after 4 years from being away. Doesn't look or feel any different. Still just as polleny and cold. But now it's good. It's warm. I like this weather a lot. But yeah, I can be a little lonely because I just uprooted all of my community from Chicago. And yeah, my family lives in southern New Hampshire in Hudson, which is near Nashua. That's about an hour and a half from here. So I don't have any connections around here at all. So I can be a little lonely and a little unfamiliar and, to be honest, a little fearful. A little fearful. I've been really tempted to kind of rely on myself and really seek other things other than Jesus to sustain me. Because there's a lot that would distract me and pull me away from walking by faith. So now I'm preaching. What about you? What about you? You're in a series called Walking with God, which is awesome. We started that a couple of weeks ago, I think. Today's sermon will aim to show you how to walk with enduring faith. So what about you? What distracts you from your faith? What fears are you facing? When I first preached this sermon, I was in a living room online because COVID had just shut down the world. There was a lot of fear. And there's still some of that that lingers around COVID-19 and its effects. There is plenty of economic fears to have. There's rapidly rising gas prices, food prices, housing prices, and all the prices. That can cause fear. There's the natural things people fear, like death or heights or maybe speaking in front of people. There's the things around the world that are, and around our nation that are very easy to cause fear, like the world events in Ukraine and everything that's happening over there, or even the national events like the recent school shootings. Wondering, are even we safe here in New Hampshire? Are we going to be okay? There's a lot that can cause fear. Whatever it is for you, I want the question that I have in mind to be the same question you have in mind, and that is, when I'm facing fear, how do I have faith? When I'm facing fear, how do I have faith? And our text this morning is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, as read for us already. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I will read it again. Father, thank you for the opportunity this morning to be in your word in Hebrews chapter 12. I thank you for the way that you have spoken to me and others already through this text, and I pray that you'd speak to those here, that you would encourage them, that you would bolster their faith so that they might be able to endure through any circumstances, no matter what they find themselves coming here with. God, I pray that you would speak, that you would move, and that you would be glorified today. Let's get into the word. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, read it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, a little bit of context, because we're stepping into the book of Hebrews way out of context. We're stepping into chapter 12. So what's happened before this? Well, first, let's look at where this letter was actually probably written to, because it actually bears a lot on what the message of Hebrews is trying to say. The people that this letter was originally written to in the first century were Christians who were experiencing a lot of fear. They were most likely located in the city of Rome during the time of Emperor Nero. Now, if you know anything about Emperor Nero, you know he's the most famous for being really great at persecuting Christians. The audience of this book may have seen some of their fellow Christians die and lose their, and like some of them apostatize their faith, lose their faith, walk away from the faith because of such great persecution. Many of them themselves were tempted to give into the fear and live their faith in their old way of life, which was Judaism. The author of Hebrews here is exhorting his audience to believe that Jesus is supreme over all of these things, over the old faith, over the fear that they're in. Jesus is supreme over all of it. And he's encouraging his readers and listeners to endure in their faith in Jesus. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I invite you to consider how Jesus is a better focus for your life than anything else you could possibly look to. He is the only one who can truly overcome fear and cause you to endure. Today, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we were exploring it with the following focus: to run the race of faith with endurance, consider faith finishers, and put off faith fractures, looking to Jesus, who is the fullness of faith. So to run the race of faith with endurance, consider faith finishers, and put off faith fractures, looking to Jesus, who is the fullness of faith. So first, to run the race of faith with endurance, running a race is going to be our illustration for today. Running, I don't know if any of you ever did track or field or anything like that, high school, college. I never did. So I decided I was going to talk to people in preparation for this that did. So I talked to my brother, who did competitive track at Cedarville University, and then I talked to my friend Jessica, who did cross country at Moody Bible Institute. And I realized as I was talking to them, the power of this analogy of running a race in this text. Now, the series Walking with God that we're in, sometimes we're not just walking, we got to run. So today we're running. As we move forward, the analogy is going to really take on shape and power, and I really want you to picture life as a race. Life is a race. We run the race of life. Like every race in competitive racing, every race has a goal, right? There's a goal. There's an end. There's a finish line. Every race has teammates. There's people around you running. Every race has gear to make you run better. Every race, there's going to be hindrances and distractions that keep you from running better. And then there's also always a coach who's run that race before, who's going to coach you along through it. So your goal is where your eyes are set, right? If you're running a race, your eyes are set on the finish line because that's where your goal is. Your eyes are not on your feet. Your eyes are set on your goal. Your mind is focused towards that goal, and your feet carry you towards that goal. No matter if you're a Christian or not, everyone runs the race of life for a reason. The question remains, is that reason Jesus or something else? So first, to run the race of faith with endurance, you need to first consider faith finishers. Consider faith finishers. Let's start going through the scripture for today. Therefore, stop. Every time you see therefore in scripture, you need to go back and see what therefore is therefore. There's a lot of context to this passage. I talked about how Hebrews is trying to exhort his audience to keep Jesus as supreme overall. Like, he's up here, he's in charge. So if we go back to actually chapter 11, right before this, we see what's a list of Old Testament people. It's the passage is most famously referred to as the Hall of Faith. It talks about a bunch of different Old Testament saints like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and plenty of other people that are in this passage. There's a surprising amount of people who are mentioned. And this is surprising people who are left out. You're like, why wasn't David mentioned at all? He's not in there, which is fascinating. But yeah, so in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a list of these people. They're all mentioned in Hebrews 11 as having faith in God. But Jesus is supreme over all of the Old Testament prophets and patriarchs. You see in chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, right before this, that it says, "And all these Old Testament saints, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." These witnesses in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, these witnesses are faith finishers. They all finished the race of faith without the promise being fulfilled. They all ran the race of faith with their faith in God, enduring through all the trials and different persecutions. If you look right before this, it lists a lot of horrible persecutions that they endured. They endured all of these things with their faith in God without Jesus. They endured it without the promise. But they still endured and overcame by faith. I don't know about you, but it's always easier for me to do something when someone not only explains it to me, but also shows me how to do it by finishing it first. Right? I grew up in the Boy Scouts, which was awesome. I had to learn to tie a lot of knots. So when I learned to tie a lot of these knots, they used something called the EDGE method. The EDGE method is an acronym. It stands for explain, demonstrate, guide, and enable. That's the EDGE method. Explain, demonstrate, guide, enable. So Hebrews here is kind of doing the similar thing. When I had to learn a knot, they would first explain it. Okay, here's how you do it. And then they'd give me a guide. They'd give me a diagram of here's more or less, this is the knot. And then they would do it for me in front of me. And then they would guide me in doing it as I was able to tie the knot. And then they would enable me so that I would be able to take that and go tie that knot myself. And then I would use the EDGE method to go teach other people how to do that same knot. And so Hebrews is doing that exact same thing. It explains in the previous chapters really the need for faithful endurance. If you look at chapter 11, verse 1, flip back a page, they had great faith defined for them. So it explains, what is faith? It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So then the chapter 11 saints, using this kind of faith, demonstrated how to endure by that faith. Now, you don't actually have to go back to the Old Testament to find saints who have endured and finished this race. Right, we have plenty of people around us in modern times, in the Christian example, who endured their race with faith that we can look to. We have plenty of people who are missionaries or pastors or etc. Anyone from Christian history you can look at who has endured with faith. These people have actually, some of these people have had Jesus and the promise fulfilled. Some of these people who are faith finishers might still be running with you. I know that I have lots of people running beside me that I can look to as someone who is not quite done with the race yet, but they're an example for me to look to. Like they've been doing this race for a lot longer than I have. I'm a pretty young guy. So there are plenty of people who have been running the race longer than I have. And there are plenty of people who have not run the race as long as I have. And I can be an example to them. So learn from them. If you are someone who's maybe a bit younger in whether by age or by faith, you should find someone who's been walking this a long time and learn from their example. Now, non-Christians, you should be able to look at Christians and see how we endure by faith. That's a big responsibility on us as Christians. They should be able to look at us and say, what's different about you? And we should be able to say, it's where our eyes are set. It's what our goal is, which is Jesus. Because ultimately, none of these people are perfect. None of them are. None of these people are perfect. So Hebrews is actually going to guide us to look at Jesus as the ultimate example. These verses are a great reference for the old WWJD. What would Jesus do? You see in verse 2, it's exactly what he would do. Because when Hebrews explains, here's what faith is, he gives, you know, demonstrates it by saying, all these different people already demonstrate us, and then he guides us by saying, what you need to do is look to Jesus. And then you'll be enabled to run with endurance. And so, having considered these faith finishers first, who ran and endured faithfully, let us also faithfully run with endurance. So, the second point, to run the race of faith with endurance, consider faith finishers. And then second, put off faith fractures. Put off faith fractures. The second half of Hebrews 12:1 says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay, imagine you're a sprinter, a competitive sprinter. You have your feet in the blocks. The gun is about to crack to signal the start of the race. You're breathing calmly. Your heart is pounding. You're ready. Bang! All the runners take off. But you seem to be left behind. You're running as fast as you possibly can, but as much as you try to run, you're dragged behind. There's a weight on your feet. You trip, you fall, you hit the ground hard. And when you get up, you realize your shoes were made of lead. And you had left your stretch band wrapped around your legs. You see, life is a little different than a competitive race, because if that was going to actually happen in a competitive race, you're done. You are not going to win. You are out for the count, and there is no point in getting back up. But life is a little different, because when you fall, you can get back up again and lay aside that which entangles you and weighs you down, and you can keep running, because the goal of the race of life is just to finish with endurance. To finish with endurance. It doesn't matter how slow you're running. Just as long as when you fall or you get entangled, you get back up again, endure, and keep going faithfully. When you fall down, you can get back up again, because the race of life, its goal is just to finish. We're not competing against one another in the race of life. You can't run any more faithfully than I can, depending on where we are. I'm not trying to beat you, I'm not trying to beat you, and you're not trying to beat one another. We are running together the race of life with the goal of simply finishing with endurance. This is not a competition between Christians, because Jesus has already won. We don't need to win. Jesus has already won. And so I get to get back into that a little bit later when we get to talk about Jesus in that second verse. But right now I really want to ask you to examine your own heart. What fractures your faith? What trips you up? What weighs you down? What entangles you? What entangles you? Another interpretation of clings so closely here that says cling so closely is easily entangles. So what entangles you? What keeps you tripping and falling? What keeps your faith from enduring if you're a Christian? If you're not a Christian, what keeps you from faith in the first place? There are a lot of things that fracture our faith and make it harder to run. In this passage, in Hebrews, distinguishes two types of fractures. It says weight and sin. Both of these terms are purposely left ambiguous in this passage because it's supposed to be undefined. When it says every weight and sin, it means every weight and sin. Every one of them. All of them. Every single one of them. Everything that weighs you down, lay it aside. Everything that causes your faith to falter, that keeps us from enduring, get rid of it. Put it off. Lay it aside. For example, I do actually want to focus on a couple of them because there's a few weights that tend to pull me down. One of those weights happens to be, as I talked about at the beginning, fear and anxiety. It's very easily something that can weigh me down and cause me to run not with endurance. Fear and anxiety, right? As I come into this pastoral role, I have a lot of fear and anxiety. And over the past 3 weeks that I've been here, oh, I've only been here for 3 weeks, by the way. Forgot to say that. For the past 3 weeks that I've been here, it's been really hard to be in this new role. Like, I've been very apprehensive, a little lonely, because as I've said, it's been very unfamiliar. Yes, I feel confident, but at the same time, there's a lot of fear and anxiety that if I wasn't going to put that aside, it could easily stop me from running well. Now, how do I do that? How do I put fear and anxiety aside? Because no matter what weight you have, it's really difficult to put aside. It's not just something you can say, oh, well, okay, sounds good. I'll just take this off, put it over here. Like, how do I do that? For me, I always go back to Scripture. And I encourage you to do the same. For me, when I have fear and anxiety, I always go back to Philippians 4:4-7. These happen to be my life verses, so I'm really excited I get to share them. Because they've been my life verses since about third grade, when I started realizing I actually struggled with clinical anxiety. And these were verses that really helped me be able to get over that and come before the Lord in a way that it said, rejoice always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Every time I come to those verses, every time when I realize all I need to do is rejoice, to take joy in the situation that I have, to say I absolutely love that I get to be the Lord's instrument as his pastor. I absolutely rejoice in the people like you that I get to meet, that I get to preach the word to. This is awesome. I love this a lot. It is fantastic. Like, I just need to realize that the Lord is right here with me. It's not the power that I have that I preach from, it's his. The Lord is right here. So I don't need to be anxious about anything. And if I am, I can lift that before him with thanksgiving and supplication, asking him for the strength to be here, and I do. And then I realize that the peace of God, which I can barely understand, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That helps me overcome fear. That's how I put it off. Now, this is not a one-time decision. I have to make this decision pretty much every moment that I feel anxiety or fear. Every moment that fear and anxiety comes up and tries to tangle me again, I need to pick it up and lay it aside by going back to Scripture and back to Jesus. It really helps me get it over, give it over to the Lord in confidence that he's got me. It helps me run, and it helps me endure. So whatever weight that you have in your own life, whether it's fear, anxiety, or something else, I encourage you to go to Scripture. Find which Scripture that you've got in your, you know, six-shooter Scripture. You always got to have the six, right? Always got to have the six for the six different things that you have. Which one are you firing off? Which one are you defending your faith with? What Scripture is going to help you lay aside that weight? Now, there's another thing in this passage. It's not just weight. It's also sin. Weight and sin are two different things. Weight is just kind of this fear and anxiety. It's not necessarily wrong or sinful or against the Lord. But then there's also sin that entangles you and distracts you from faith. It is wrong. It is against the Lord. The sin for me, as I come into this into the pastoral role, and really that I've struggled for forever and probably will, is the sin of pride and self-reliance. So when I come into this role, I can say, oh, okay, I'm confident. I've been trained by the Moody Bible Institute. I'm good. I got this, you know. I can come in with that pride and self-reliance in a way that says, well, really, it's wrong. It's not correct. If I rely on myself and I glorify me, if I make it about me, then I've dishonored and not glorified the Lord. If I make it about me, I am doing something wrong against him. And that causes me not to run well, because ultimately, if I rely on me, I will fail. Because I am a weak and frail human being. So if I rely on me, It's not going to work out very well. But if I rely on Jesus, that means that every time that I fail and fall down, that means that I can get back up again and run towards him because my eyes are set on him. So in this role, I really have to choose humility before the Lord, saying, God, I cannot do this without you. Because if I don't choose that, it's going to be forced on me. I've had plenty of times in my life where humility has been like, aha, and the Lord has just knocked me over because I refused to get on my knees. So I just chose, I'll get on my knees and I'll stay there, because every time I get up, he's pretty prone to knocking me down. So what sin distracts your life? What sin keeps you from your eyes sticking straight onto the Lord? What sin keeps you from looking at Jesus and walking with endurance, running with endurance? Where do you need humility? It may seem hard or even near impossible to lay aside some of the things that easily entangle and cling to you. There are plenty of people who've had very similar problems, very similar situations, and very similar things to handle, very similar weights and fears, weights and sins, fears and pride. There are plenty of people who have come before you who have laid aside every weight and sin. They are faith finishers. They've done it before you. They messed up too, but they endured. They weren't perfect, and they can't make you perfect. But Jesus can, and he did. Jesus was perfect. He ran the race of life perfectly. And now, he's our coach. He's cheering us on. He's disciplining us. He is causing us to run with endurance. He's telling us, hey, that weight and sin, put that aside. Because sometimes we can't really see those weight and sins ourselves. He's the coach. He's giving us a manual on how to run well. It's right here. This is the manual on how to run the race of life well, Scripture. And Jesus is the person that we should look to, we should set our eyes on. We see that right in the verses right here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. To run the race of faith with endurance, consider faith finishers and put off faith fractures, looking to Jesus, who is the fullness of faith. It's already finished. It's been won. This race has been run and won, not only by the past saints, but also by Jesus Christ himself. I want you to see the richness of the language here used in this verse and how it follows the analogy of racing so well. So the author in the Roman times would have been thinking about the games that would have been created by the Roman officials, modeled after the Greek Olympics, much like the Olympics we have today. They would have been thinking about these games. Those games would have been created and officiated by the governing ruler. Created and officiated. They would have been founded by the governing ruler. They would have been played in honor of that ruler, and they would have been played in honor of his patron god or goddess. So part of the purpose of Hebrews is to establish Christ's supremacy, Jesus' supremacy over everything. So the words used here, founder and perfecter of our faith, show Jesus to be the one who rules over the race. He created it. He made it. He's the creator of everything. He rules over the race. And Christ is honored in the race as God. Jesus is the holy, holy, holy. And he sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and authority in the race that we run. He is the founder. He founded the race. He created it. He's the founder and creator, and he is honored as such. Just like the Roman emperors who are honored in the games, we should fall down to our knees before him, who sits in honor in heaven above us all. Yet, he's not just the founder, he's also the perfecter. Thanks be to God that this verse does not say, and the gospel does not say, look to God who sits holy enthroned above, waiting for us to run for him. Instead, It rather says God lovingly came down to us. God lovingly came down to us. He came down with joy. It says, joy from glory to endure the cross. He became a human like us, and he ran the race like all of the Old Testament saints before him, and yet he was without sin or weight, and he came to perfect faith. Verses right before this, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us that they would be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is not just the founder, and he's not just the perfect runner as an example. But he endured the lowest shame to achieve the highest glory. Jesus endured the lowest shame to achieve the highest glory. You see, in the first century, in the Roman days, the cross would have symbolized the absolute lowest form of criminal punishment. It was reserved for the insurgents, the repeated felons, and those considered lower than dirt, shamefully, in their society. You see, their culture was fixed on shame and honor. And the culture that was, the cross was absolute lowest tier rung that you could go in shame. But Jesus joyfully endured it, despising the shame, saying, I will go to the absolute lowest regions of the earth to redeem and save the people I love without a care for the rest of the world and how it sees me. Today, for those who believe, the cross represents not shame, but glory and honor and redemption for those who call on Jesus in faith. You see, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And that means when we look to him, if he has perfected us, if we allow his perfection of us to take over us, we get to go and run the race with our eyes set on eternity. We get to sit at the right hand of the throne of God too. Because if you see in the passage right after this, which I wish I was able to preach to you, because I was able to preach to you last week. We're sons. Sons and daughters. We have children of God. The passage right after this says that because we are sons, just like Jesus was, that we have to endure discipline. When we get to be children of God, we get to endure that discipline, but we have the fruit of righteousness, because all discipline doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's in chapter 12, verse 11. We get to look and we get to see how Jesus endured all of those things for the sake of his glory and for the sake of our own. He endured all of the lowest shame if possible. Not just for his own sake, but so that we could participate with him as children, as a son of God, just like him. We get to be in glory one day if we believe in and we put our faith in him, if we set our eyes on Jesus. If we put our faith in him, he perfects us. That means that every time we fall down, we can get back up again. Is that you? Do you look to Jesus in faith? I don't know if any of you have tried, but we're not able to lay aside the weight and sin ourselves. Not without looking to Jesus. Not without him being the goal of the race. So are your eyes fixed on Jesus? Not that they sometimes glance at him. That they sometimes glance on the bookshelf to see the book that you need to take off and say, oh, I need Jesus, and I put it back. Are your eyes fixed on him? Just him. That's it. You see, Jesus set an example of humility for us to follow as we endure what this world has to revile us with. But we endure it with the hope of glory in him. Jesus perfected and completed the faith of those who came before us, and he is in the fullness of faith we have now. So when I'm facing fear, how do I have faith? By looking to Jesus. It's as simple as that. So, some final takeaways. If you're a non-Christian here, it's time to take your first step in the race. To start looking at Jesus. Because if you're not a Christian, your eyes are set on something else. Jesus is the best race goal that you can possibly have. Now, if you're a Christian, it's time to take the next step. To take the next step running that race. To take the next step and mind your eyes. Mind your eyes. Where are they looking? It's time to grow in strength and endurance to run well. Check where you direct your eyes. You see, how fast and how strong you run should only ever be compared to Jesus. This is not a competition between saints. We should only ever be compared to Jesus. So are you running like Jesus? It's a pretty high calling. Because you can look at the people around you and say, oh, well, I'm better than that guy over there. You know, I can say that very easily. But are you running like Jesus? That should be our goal. Realizing that Jesus has already won. We don't run for faith. We don't run for salvation. We don't have faith. And we don't do these works so that we can be saved. We are already saved. And so that we can enjoy that glory, we run like Jesus. To glorify God, because that's what else would we want to do if he's done that for us? So for now, don't stop. Even if you feel weak and slow, Jesus chose to come in as a human. He chose weakness and slowness often at times. Rely on the Holy Spirit and endure. Keep going. Even if you have to crawl. Check your eyes. Where is your view? It should be on Jesus. Keep your eye on the prize. The fear, the anxiety, the pride, the self-reliance, or any other weight or sin that clings so closely, are your eyes looking somewhere other than Jesus? You see, when you're running a race and you look at your feet, you're unbalanced. If you're running a race this way and you're looking to the side, you're going to hit something. Anytime that you look at any of these weight or sins, it is your eyes looking somewhere other than Jesus. So to run the race of faith with endurance, first consider faith finishers. And then put off faith fractures, looking to Jesus, who is the fullness of faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, I pray now and I thank you for this text, Lord, that really just encourages us to mind our eyes, to see whether our eyes are set fixed firmly on you. Lord, I pray that as we look to other things and we see that our eyes are not looking to you, that we would come to you, we would search the scriptures for ways that we can lay those things aside. If it's idolatry, Lord, we're actually supposed to flee from it. We're supposed to run. So Lord, I pray we would lay that aside and we'd run to you. We'd run with our eyes fixed on you. We'd run with our eyes fixed on eternity, knowing that we are your children and we get to participate in your glory. That is amazing, God. You came and you perfected us. We can't do this on our own. But because you perfected us, we want to run with endurance. We want to run with our eyes fixed on you, the hope of our lives. So God, thank you. Thank you for being over everything. Thank you for being our everything. And thank you for making us your children so that we get to run with endurance towards you. God, thank you for this life. Help us to run well. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.